All right, open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Sister Vemma has the reading for us today. It's going to be Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 29. And if you'll read along in your own Bible, that would be helpful.
Good morning. Ephesians 5, 22 to 29. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Amen.
Amen. Let's thank the Lord God for his word, a very, very beautiful passage of scripture. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful love toward us, your beloved, your church. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given your life for us, and we pray that you would help us to walk worthy of the high calling with which you have called us. And we ask it in your holy name. Amen. All right, so do you remember when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue in John chapter 6, and he said things like, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, and he who feeds on me will live. Right, this is the bread which came down from heaven, which whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the people said, that's a hard saying, right? Who can accept it? And it says even some of his followers, you know, turned aside and didn't follow him anymore. I find that that's the kind of initial reaction that people sometimes have when they're first seriously introduced to the scriptural teaching about marriage roles. This is a hard saying. It kind of goes against something that's ingrained in me. I'm not sure if I can really do this. Like, I feel that God is imposing something on me or taking something away from me by asking me to do this. So I want to use our time today to consider the teaching about marriage as regards the wife's role. Last week we introduced this subject by basically establishing that the Christian view of marriage, the Bible's view about marriage, is the only correct one for the simple reason that the Bible alone records the reality of how God set up the world to work and how he ordained the human race to function. And if we try to operate our lives on different assumptions than the actual truth, the actual ones on which creation is built, we're going to meet with disaster, okay? So having established that much, we want to take a week to look at God's word to wives, and then we'll later look at God's word to husbands. I don't think you have to actually be a wife to recognize that God's commanding you to submit to another human being in everything is, to put it mildly, it's going to take some doing, and some women will say, God is asking a lot of me, and it probably won't always be easy. To that I say, well, it does involve a transformation, doesn't it? It's a high teaching. And similar to what those people in the synagogue said, this is hard. Well, what did Jesus say to those people then? He said, remember how he said, does this offend you? What if you should see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? Would that change things for you? What if you saw the Son of Man enthroned in all of his brilliant glory? The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Right? My words are the way of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And my further answer is, what about the Christian life isn't challenging, honestly? You know, we've had some high teaching already in the earlier injunctions in this list in Ephesians. Remember, like, not one word of unclean language should escape your lips. That's pretty high teaching. Not a hint of sexual impropriety. What about the Lord's teaching to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you? How about where he says, put aside all malice and covetousness, right? And Paul says, what is it in 2 Corinthians, every thought in captivity to Christ. Everything about the Christian life is a challenge, isn't it? Everything is on a high plane, and it's got to be the supernatural power of Christ in you. You know, it's been said, you can't live the Christian life. It's got to be the Holy Spirit in you. If it wasn't for God's Holy Spirit, you know, this would be difficult to attain to for most women, I think. But God has given us his Holy Spirit exactly for this reason, to transform us and to make us how we could not be before. All right, and that was back in chapter 1, where it said that we should be holy and without blame in his sight. Right, that's why he's given us the deposit of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we can begin by acknowledging that both for the wife and for the husband, the will of God goes against a person's natural inclinations. Okay, save the husband for next time, but I think we can just say that for both spouses need to learn how to obey the will of God, and it's a challenge for them both. Okay, just say it straight out. At times, you're not going to want to do what God wants you to do. And I would say that's just, you know, it's not that different from a lot of his other commandments, all right? It takes a conscious choice in many areas of life to say, I'm going to do not what I want to do, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do, okay? And at the same time, remember that God's commandments are designed for our good and for our blessing, and as long as we decide we're going to resist those commandments, you know, we're not going to be able to come to true peace. Okay, you might get a temporary benefit. You know, when you resist the will of God and do the opposite, okay, you might win the argument, you might get what you want for the short term, but as far as the long-term, abiding, lasting peace of knowing you're walking in step with the Holy Spirit, okay, well, that can only come when you get on board with God's will. Okay, so about submission to a husband, and, you know, as Paul says, in everything as unto the Lord, okay, unless obviously, of course, your husband is telling you to do something that violates the will of God, it's admittedly a tall order, okay, or it seems so. It's very natural to want to retain that right of self-determination. Okay, I think particularly so as Americans, maybe it's true everywhere, but particularly so as Americans, we're independence-minded, we're kind of mistrustful of authority figures, kind of suspicious that they're going to misuse their authority over us somehow. And I think, you know, as Americans, we've basically been fed from infancy on the philosophy that, you know, every person, male or female, has the right to set his or her own course in life, his or her own agenda, and no one else has the right to tell you what to do. And, you know, you can be anything you want to be in life, you can do whatever you want to do, sky's the limit, and don't let anybody ever hold you back. And I feel that most girls, therefore, as they grow up, are not being mentally prepared or spiritually prepared to fill the marriage role of helper, right, as someone who is in a subordinate role to a husband. I mean, don't you agree? I mean, do you find that, in your opinion, do you think that schools are generally instilling that value in young women, you know, to prepare them for family life and for married life? And don't you find that really schools are pushing girls more and more to find their value as a person in independence and personal autonomy and personal advancement and self-sufficiency? Look at who are the role models for girls You know, if you just go by television shows and by culture, you know, who are the female characters that you see on TV? You know, they're like FBI agents and you know, pilots and athletes and, you know, high-powered lawyers and, you know, marine biologists and activists and, you know, whatever it is, it's full-time career. Okay, so, you know, get out there, you make money, make your mark on the world, show them you're a star, that kind of thing. And I, you have to ask, I think, well, what room is there then for a husband except to get in the way? You know, you're just getting in the way of all my aspirations and ambitions. Okay, my point there is that girls are growing up into young women, never really thinking ahead or planning about, you know, attaching themselves to a husband as his helper and his support and his companion. Okay, submissiveness is not a modern value, is it? Okay, and motherhood is devalued by our culture. And home life is seen, frankly, as a waste of a girl's potential. You know, girls are told, you can be, you should be, everything a boy can be and more. Okay, and if you do decide to get married, well, only do it, you know, if that's what you want to do, you know, only do it to fulfill your dreams of having it all. You know, girls say, I want to have it all. I want a career and money and a man and a home and children. And, you know, young women, I'd say for the last 60 or 70 years have been made to feel that they've really only made it in life if they can accomplish all of that. Okay. And absent from that set of ideals is the notion of submission to a husband. Hey, husband, fine, you know, have one if you want one, but submission to a husband, you know, come on, girl, you're worth more than that. Okay, so girls grow up now having boyfriends, right, and more often than not leading to multiple sexual partners because attention from boys and affection from boys, you know, it makes them feel good, it makes them feel validated, attractive, okay, but they're not typically thinking, you know, is this a man that I would submit my will to and agree to follow and obey, even to the point of foregoing my own personal wishes? Okay? They're not thinking that. Okay, instead, you know, having a man is just, you know, it's a necessary ingredient in having a full life and having a whole, and you deserve to have it all. Okay, so, you know, it seems to me that girls they naturally have a motherly instinct and a family instinct, and, you know, that God has sort of just wired into them. That's how the female sex is. But society keeps telling them, you're never going to be complete, you're never going to be a woman worth your salt, you know, unless you're a professional too. And so girls, you know, feel torn in both directions, right? And so you find yourselves either delaying marriage and delaying having children, or else getting married and giving up the career and then pining away for the what if, you know, what could have been, and feeling like, you know, she lost out on her chance at glory. So, you know, it's because traditional marriage roles are no longer being instilled in young people as they grow up. So that, you know, so that they perceive, what does a husband look like according to God's ideal? What does a wife look like according to God's ideal? And instead, all the emphasis is on equality and personal autonomy, personal fulfillment. What happens is women are taken off guard when they do marry, and inevitably, as all marriages do, you run into some kind of trouble, you know, some difference of priority or some disagreement. And, you know, you find yourself unexpectedly, you know, at loggerheads with a husband who wants to have all his dreams fulfilled. And, you know, and you have this point of friction and it's resentment. And, you know, here's the Lord saying, wives, submit to your husbands. And the woman says, well, you know, what century do you think this is anyway? Okay. So, you know, really it's just what it boils down to in my mind is it's just a variation on the same original theme that people of every kind want to be their own masters, right? And that applies no matter which sex you are, it applies no matter how old you are, it applies no matter what your station in life is. Everybody wants to have the final say in what they do. And the Word of God is telling wives here, the final word, the final say, belongs to your husband and not to you. And that can be hard to accept, right? Especially if all your life you've been told you can do whatever you like, right? And, you know, you've had this idea of equality, you know, the American value of equality drummed into you. Okay, so don't misunderstand me about equality. You know, male and female stand on equal footing when it comes to salvation, right? As far as salvation, right, the scripture makes it perfectly clear, men and women are equally precious in God's sight. They're both made in his image, but God has made a distinction between the sexes in the marriage bond. Okay, and I would remind you, I'm talking about the marriage bond. We're not talking about women in general. We're talking about wives. Okay, not all women, wives, and their own husbands. Okay, and if you're not married, and if you're not under the authority of your parents anymore, okay, well then you report directly to the Lord, right? You're not submissive to a man. Okay, a wife may very well be smarter than her husband. She may be more competent at managing money than her husband. She may be more talented. She may be wiser in the ways of the world. She may, in some cases, even be physically stronger than her husband. However, none of those qualities gives her an excuse to reject the Word of God, do they? Okay. Now, the Word of God is not telling the wife to live her life totally passively and just let the husband do, you know, everything he wants to do, however he likes it done, and, you know, she's just to be quiet and not have any input. Okay, of course not. But you know how God ordered things with Adam and Eve. He made the man first and, you know, made him, so to speak, captain of the team. Okay, not everybody on the team can be the captain. Right? Take a football team, for example. You have 11 players on the field. If every player on the field decides they're going to run, I'm going to run this play, you're going to run this play, you have 11 different players running 11 different plays, you will never advance the ball, you'll never win, right? You're never going to win, because not everybody on the team can be the captain, okay? God has appointed the captain of this marriage team, and the husband is the point person, right? And so responsibility to God for the family falls on him, right? It lies with him, right? Adam is the one that God demanded answers from when things went bad in the garden, right? Adam, where are you? Okay, what has happened here? Okay, in other words, God made the husband and the wife and ordained the relationship with a distinction. Okay, they're both made in God's image, but there is a distinction, and that is not a matter of my opinion. That's the Word of God. Okay, so in keeping with the distinction, a wife can advise, a wife should offer insight, you know, a wife can certainly make her wants and wishes known to her husband, but ultimately the final say has to lie with the husband, because God is going to require an account from him. Okay, he's the captain and he's the one who has to step forward and answer for the state of the family. Okay, and she has to be, and I'd say can be, content knowing that, and so that she doesn't have to keep pressing and pressing him until he caves in. You know, if she's done her part to speak up for what she thinks is the best, and her husband decides elsewise, then she has obeyed the Lord, and he is going to bless her for that. Okay, she has respected the will of God, even if her husband makes a poor decision. Okay, so that's on him. But, you know, our society is increasingly hostile to this idea of a distinction, okay, particularly distinction between the sexes, right? That's being virtually erased, okay? And our society has carried the value of equality to such an extreme degree now that any suggestion that there are limits upon what a person is to do or to be is denounced. That's discriminatory, right? That's evil. Of course, the word is sexist, right? It's sexist, as though, you know, that's meant as an accusation of something unjust, okay? When in fact, it's this is just in line with God's good design for the family and for the home. And we trust God to know what he's doing. And I would say it's the same exact spirit of the devil tempting women today using the same technique that he used with Eve. Did God really say, oh, my dear, you know, how could he do that to you? You know, it's a shame he doesn't want you to live up to your full potential and have your own way. You know, you would be much better off if you took charge of this matter yourself. Okay, it's the same technique now as then. Now, of course, the natural inclination is there and always has been to assume the lead position and, you know, resist somebody else's authority over you. That was there long before there was America. But especially today, here and now, where equality, so-called, is everything, right? And lately, not merely equality, but actual female supremacy to make up for all those years of male supremacy, girls today are just not hearing the voice of God about the way that he has ordered the home and the family to function. And inevitably, if they haven't heard it and not taking it into account, their marriages and homes are going to suffer. They're going to go poorly because of it. Hear the word of God telling you, this is the way. Walk in this way. Okay? I'm sure a lot of these Ephesian believers had marriages that were not picture perfect. Okay, because they're, you know, let's not idealize them, they're people just like us. Right? They're coming out of a state of ignorance of God also. Right? Paul's saying to them, you've come out of darkness and into the light. So part of the agenda of helping you folks grow as Christians is to teach you God's way for marriage. Okay, wives, this, husbands, this. And Paul puts this in his letter because this is part of getting your lives together as disciples of the Lord now that you've come to know his salvation. Okay? And he said, I testify in the Lord, you must no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles do, right? As you yourselves were doing, okay, be renewed, be transformed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, I think for most of these women, it's safe to assume that they were already married. Okay, and so here's something that they're going to have to put into practice in their existing situation, right? And it's this way with a lot of the Lord's commandments. You put them into practice on the fly. Like, I'm already married, right? You've got your marriage, so now start doing this. Okay, yes, with that man. Yes, I'm talking about that man that you're married to, right? The Bible never says, ladies, you know, if you're married to an unbeliever or if you've got a difficult husband, just leave him and marry a good Christian instead. Okay, it never says if your husband isn't a mature Christian, you know, well then don't bother with this. Okay, Peter says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands so that even if some disobey the word, they may be won over without words by the conduct of their wives when they observe the purity and the reverence of your lives. Okay, Scripture doesn't say to abandon the situation you find yourself in. It wants you to grow there in that situation because that's where you were when God called you. Okay, sanctify the situation that you're in. Nobody's got a perfect husband. Right? Every woman is married to a sinner. But, you know, so is every man married to a sinner. Okay? But the grace of God has come into your marriage, and let the Holy Spirit and let the Word of God do their work and be patient and persevere and give serious consideration to these words, to what they imply as the church is subject to Christ. Right? That's in everything. And by the way, you know, let me say again, if a woman is not yet married, clearly, if you're not yet married, the advice to young women is choose a man carefully, isn't it? Okay, marry a man who has biblical vision of what his family should be under God. Please, please don't fall for somebody. Don't get married just because he is so handsome. Right? Why did you get married? Oh, he's so funny. I mean, he makes me laugh all the time. You know, I enjoy myself so much he's sexy. You know, he's well off. He's smart. Okay? Hopefully you get some of those things. But knowing what kind of husband that God wants you to have, and knowing what God is going to require of him and of you as far as submission, okay, look for somebody whose life is on the right track in that regard, right? Someone that you can entrust yourself into his hands, that he'll imitate Christ and he'll model his love for you after Christ's love for his bride, right? If you still have the freedom to choose a spouse who is a God-fearing man and who sees himself as also subject to somebody in authority over himself, right? Because it says, as the man is the head of the wife, Christ is the head over the man, okay? The man has authority over him as well, right? And the man you choose needs to be well aware of that for your sake, okay? Please marry a good Christian man, okay? So just to unpack that as unto the Lord a little bit, okay? As the church is subject to Christ, right? So submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, right? If you can't accept those terms, okay, namely acknowledging that, you know, you are giving up some autonomy, okay? You are foregoing certain rights to choose your own path, then if you're not married, don't get married if you can't accept those terms, right? If you feel that you have to be your own boss and you always have to have your own way, then marriage is not for you. But I would say neither in that case is Christianity for you, okay? Because those are the terms on which Jesus takes us on as disciples, right? Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. Okay, Romans has that verse that says, don't you know that when you present yourself to someone to be his servant you are, right? If you're servants of unrighteousness, you obey unrighteousness. If you're servants of righteousness, obey righteousness, right? Have you agreed to serve Christ? Okay, well, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, as the church submits to Christ, okay, which means, and so, you know, here we have to see a parallel with your husbands, that we acknowledge Christ's authority over us, don't we, church? We acknowledge his authority over us. Kind of goes without saying, he is the savior of the body, right? He has lordship over us. God put him there, right? God placed his son in that role. He's our king. And we who belong to Christ, you know, we answered his call. It's like he came courting, isn't it? You know, he proposed to us. Come to me, right? Come away, my beloved, right? And we accepted his proposal, and he took us under his wing, right? And we acknowledged him as our Lord. He's our Lord from heaven. It says he's the Savior, right? He's the rescuer of the body. Okay, and the marriage relationship needs to be viewed in a similar way, right? Where it's understood that the man takes the woman under his wing to love and to cherish, to have and to hold, right? To protect and provide and so on. And that God has placed him over his wife in a role that involves authority just as much as it involves love. Okay, God vested authority in the role of husband just as he has crowned Jesus with authority over the church. Okay, so we acknowledge that. And secondly, since that's the nature of the church-Christ relationship, we, the church, attend on his word, don't we? I mean, the whole reason we're here together today is to hear our master's will, isn't it? Okay, find out what pleases the Lord. That's what verse 10 said. Find out what pleases the Lord. What's in Christ's mind? Like, what would he have us to do today, this week, right? What's our goal in life, right? And that's why I say that a husband and a wife have to have a plan for their lives, right? They have to have short-term plans, long-term plans, plans for this week, okay? And a wife should see herself as the support role in getting that plan accomplished. Just the way that we Christians, isn't that who we are? Don't we say, this is, Lord, what do you want us to do? How are we going to advance your kingdom, right? He's not here to do it. He relies on us. Okay, we're servants of his kingdom. It's our desire and will to further his plan, right? To spread the gospel, to get his program done. Okay, so consult your husband. Ask him what his preference is. You know, find out what are his wishes. What are his needs? I mean, let's admit, he needs you, right? We said that last. The man needs the woman. It's not good for the man to be alone. Okay? Just like Christ needs his disciples. Didn't he say to them, you know, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers? Why? He needs them, right? So, you know, he needs you. And then why do we do all that? Why do we serve him that way? Well, it's to bring him honor. Okay, it says here at the end of this passage, let the wife honor her husband. Okay, well, it's easy to honor Jesus because he's perfect in every way, right? And he's already surrendered his life for us. But, you know, you can still honor a person who's not 100% perfect and who, you know, maybe isn't yet living up to that example of Christ as a self-giving Savior. Okay, but you can still honor that person, and all the more so if he is making advances in the will of God. Okay, honor means speak well of him. Don't belittle him. You know, don't make jokes about him. Don't embarrass him in public. You know, don't defy him. Talk about his good qualities. Offer yourself to him. Offer your service. Do kind things for him. You know, not things that are going to frustrate him. Right. By your own conduct, represent your husband well to the world so that, you know, he'll have nothing to be ashamed of. This is doable. Right? In the Holy Spirit, this is doable. It's not a hard saying. Okay? And it pleases the Lord. Verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord, this does. Okay? And it'll please your husband as unto the Lord, and it'll please the Lord directly. Okay? Yes, there is a yoke, right? Marriage is a yoke. You take a yoke upon you when you get married, but there was a yoke that you took upon you when you got saved, wasn't there? Okay, and most of you have walked with the Lord long enough to understand what he meant when he said, my yoke is easy, okay, and my burden is light. Okay, little contradiction to what we said before. You know, the Christian life isn't easy in an absolute sense, is it? It's sometimes very challenging, but it's definitely easier than the way of the transgressor. Okay, it only sounds like a hard saying at first. Wives, submit to your husbands in everything as unto the Lord. And frankly, just like back then in the synagogue, many women stumble at that, and some even say, I'm not going to follow Christ anymore if that's the terms. But then the Lord, remember, he turned to Peter. Are you going too? And what did Peter say? Well, where else would I go? You have the words of eternal life, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in the joy of the bridegroom. All right, so we have that to look forward to, joy in the presence of our groom. Let's pray, and I will ask for his Spirit's blessing on our homes and our marriages. Father, as always, we acknowledge your word is best, Lord. We bow the knee to you, Lord, and ask for your strength, for your wisdom, for your assistance. Lord, we thank you for the women in our lives. We ask your blessing upon them, Lord. We ask for your perfect peace for each and every one, especially, Lord, those who are under the yoke of marriage. We lift them up to you, Father, and we thank you for them. Thank you for what a blessing they are to us men. We want to honor you, Father, in everything that we say and we do and how we conduct ourselves, how we keep our oath to you, Father. To be faithful and to be protective and to honor each other and submit to each other, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for your presence in our homes. May our homes be holy places, sanctified to you. We're talking about a marriage just ready to be formed 1 week from today, so we lift that couple up to you. The couple that got married yesterday, Father, many people are getting married today, yesterday. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.